What a great pleasure it is to welcome Chris Erasmus, who is the country manager for South Africa at AWS. Chris, really good to see you. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Glad. Thanks, Aki. Really good to be here today. I look forward to our conversation.
No, me too, Chris. I mean, exciting things happening in the market at the moment. And as one of the global technology leaders, Amazon has placed a huge priority on AI. I mean, AI has just been the big buzzword for a while, but Amazon is no stranger to this. You guys have been doing it for a long time. Why does Amazon see artificial intelligence as such an important technology?
Absolutely. Good that you point out that we've been doing this for quite a long time. And if you look at Amazon as a whole, it's been a continuous focus for our company almost since our inception. If you think about some of the customer experiences that we've brought to bear over the last couple of years, you know, we use the technology for both customer-facing services and our own internal operations. So as far back as 1998, you started to see recommendation engines popping up in terms of Amazon.com's website, where consumers would get pings and alerts in terms of their shopping experience and potentially something else they could buy. That was AI back in 1998. And then if you look at how we think about performance, we have AI-powered robots that optimize order performance in our own warehouses as well. You know, that has been something that we've done for a number of years. We've also launched new businesses on AI like Alexa, which is our general-purpose personal AI. It's the Echo Dots. Many sort of consumers would have it in their homes. You could prompt it to play music or to fill up a shopping trolley or to process a whole bunch of stuff. That has been AI for a long time. And then we work with more than 100,000 businesses using machine learning services offered through AWS as well. So it has become widespread. And I've said it a number of times, over 90% of what we do or release into the market is off the back of customers asking us for it and identifying where they have challenges that they want us to solve. That feedback has led us to wanting to obviously double down on focus in this space specifically. And then most recently, generative AI has been this explosion over the last 18 months, which again drives the next wave of this.
No, it's exciting. And I mean, you just touched on a few of those that you've had over the years. And, being a customer and using the AWS platform, you can just see those innovations and how they've just dramatically changed the user experience and the customer experience. What are the AI innovations that Amazon is most proud of that you can think of at the moment?
And I'm not necessarily going to talk about our services. I always think it's important to talk about some of the customer experiences, not just from an Amazon or AWS perspective, but for the consumer at large. And I'm a big sports fan, so I'm going to start with a couple of things that I'm really proud of. For the Formula One sort of fans and viewers out there, we've done a lot of work with Formula One over the last couple of years. In 2022, new regulations came into effect, which changed the way they thought about the cars entirely. We work closely with Formula One using big data, AI, and machine learning to help them to lock down those regulations. And it was a stat that it said it would have taken around 10 years to lock the regulations down the way they did. It took a year and a half leveraging the actual technology with AWS, which Ross Brawn came out and made that statement, which was fascinating for me, given the engineer that he is. And then as a viewer, if you're watching the sports reaction time at the start, that you can actually see who gets the better starts and how that turns into the individual that is first at the first corner. That's leveraging AI, machine learning, tire degradation, or even predicting things like overtaking. And then in the NFL, I know it's not a big sport for South African or South African fans, but bringing viewer experiences around decisions that players make, the chances of that converting into a successful play, and then using that to drive coaching and improve performance is another thing we're doing. And then, you know, I spoke about some of the consumer experiences with Amazon.com, also with ads, how we can produce lifestyle imagery that helps improve the performance of ads for our customers and consumers. So a lot of stuff out there with our customers and consumers that I'm incredibly proud of because it makes it real as opposed to just talking about the services that sort of underpin it in the background.
No, and you know what the mind-blowing part of me for me is that you mentioned this the Formula One side, and what's amazing for me is that it's taking the data while the cars are moving in real time, sending it to the AWS cloud, crunching the numbers and sending those insights back to the team. I mean, for me, the speed at which that happens is quite extraordinary. Now, one thing that sets Amazon apart as an AI leader is that it builds and deploys AI solutions across three technology layers. Now, could you unpack each of those layers and how Amazon leads the way in these layers?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to start by just talking a little bit about our approach to the developments and deployments of AI, and then I'll get into the three layers, which started with AI and now it's continued to move into generative AI. I think the first thing is maintaining a strategic focus on improving the customer and employee experience through practical real-world applications. So again, I gave you some examples, making sure that what we're building and how we're improving an experience is practical and real-world. And then bringing our world-class data, compute, and talent resources to drive AI innovation. I spoke about, you know, the vast majority of what we release being off the back of customer feedback. As AWS, us leveraging the talents we have to do this on behalf of customers. And then something that comes up a lot is committing to the development of responsible, reliable, and trustworthy AI. You know, it's great that we do this, but you have to think about this responsibly, and you have to make sure that you have all the guardrails, all the security, et cetera, in place in order to leverage. And then when you think about the technology, we look at it across three different layers of the technology stack. And we do this with the idea of democratizing the technology for our customers, regardless of the level of capability or skill that you have. So starting at the bottom level, we think about the silicon and infrastructure. So that's the traditional compute, networking, the frameworks that we bring that for organizations that potentially partner with us, they can use that to train foundation models, run AI workloads, and accelerate the production of AI. So they will build an AI capability or service on top of that bottom level and then sell that on. We've gone into a couple of partnerships like Anthropic, et cetera, where they leverage our compute and storage to then build the solution, which then gets sold. That, again, needs high level of specialization and capability in order to leverage that. In the middle level of the stack, it's really around services to build AI systems. And that's where we offer customers choice by providing the broadest selection of foundation models. So we believe that choice is important when it comes to leveraging generative AI, either Amazon Bolt, like our Titan models, or by offering the likes of Anthropic or Mistral or Cohere, one of these other model capabilities through a managed service that customers don't have to go and build and train, they can leverage off the shelf already to then build the application. And then the last bit is the top level of the AI stack. And this is services that customers can apply, you know, AI in the real world. And again, that could be either by utilizing a service that has been released by AWS. I think about Amazon Forecasting as an example. It was a demand forecasting tool that was built by Amazon.com, which is now available to any customer to leverage the same demand forecasting capability. So again, taking all the need to build out and providing an end service that can be leveraged by our customers. We have Amazon Q or Amazon Code Whisperer, and I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail as we go through this, but providing a service that customers can just utilize without needing to build and without needing to have any capability. So that's how we think about the different layers.
Now, it's quite interesting, Chris. You look at generative AI, and that's obviously a big buzzword at the moment. So let's talk about that specifically, and generative AI and its potential, because it's really changing businesses and how we do business today. And it's been described as one of the most transformational technologies of our generation. Why do you believe this is the case with generative AI?
And here's, for me, it's the evolution of AI, right? And we spoke about it earlier that artificial intelligence has been around for a while, and we're kind of going to this next frontier where it actually moves to a point where the AI can generate content and can synthesize content. So it allows you, or as an organization, to drive value in productivity, but also creativity. So it doesn't just take away rudimentary tasks, but it can help you to create things like first draft of documents, to proactively provide some level of guidance to customers, as opposed to just prompting an answer out of a repository. So again, if you think about the value, it is sort of moving one layer further in reducing some of the real manual work that organizations would traditionally do. And I think, you know, any type of industry and any type of function could leverage generative AI because of their capability. Like customer operations, call centers is a good example. Sales and marketing, if you want to refine a quote or refine a proposal, it can help you with that. You would still need to go and obviously sanity check it because you want to make sure it's relevant. But I think, again, taking some of the rudimentary tasks away by actually being able to create content on its own is one of the big benefits from that perspective. And then the ability to plug it in almost anywhere at the moment is the key thing for me.
Now, you've guys, you're at AWS, you've got quite a few generative AI solutions and technologies available. Could you unpack those generative AI solutions that you are most excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I spoke earlier on about how we think about democratizing access to this technology so that any organization, whether it's a startup, you know, who has a big bolder cultural mentality, or whether it's a large corporate like one of the banks or the retailers, you know, we can provide different areas of focus and capability for those organizations to leverage. So again, if we think about the bottom level of the stack, we provide the computing infrastructure. Quite a bit of that is proprietary to AWS, which means we can drive really good cost benefits for those organizations that are wanting to build on top of us. And then the partnerships with the likes of NVIDIA, again, which brings, you know, these large graphic intensive capabilities out into the market, is really the bottom level. And then where we can really start to talk about some of our services, the middle level and then the top level. So the middle level, we have something called Amazon Bedrock. That's a fully managed service that essentially offers choice of high-performing foundation models, either from AWS through our Titan models, so models that we have built that we're leveraging internally that we now publish and make available through a managed service, or through partnerships like AI21 Labs. Anthropic is one that has been out in the public domain. We made quite a big investment, around $4 billion in Anthropic. Cohere, Meta, as an example, or Stability AI. So again, providing choice, because we believe that still finding fit for purpose is the right way to go for customers to drive the outcome through a managed service that you don't have to worry about managing and operating. We will do that. And then I spoke about some of our own models like Amazon Titan, which is a high-performing image, multimodal, and text model that customers can leverage, which is Amazon building the model and providing it for customers. But I think the one that is going to be, or the area that is going to be most interesting for most of our customers as well as consumers, is the next level, which is essentially the top level. That's where we bring the services to bear that customers can just leverage. Amazon Q is a good example. It's a generative AI-powered assistant that is specifically for work. So you can use that. You know, the first bit is you train and deploy it based on your own data, not on external data, which means you can provide all the security and guardrails. There's a knowledge that knows that you're only providing feedback on your own data, as opposed to what could be a wildcard coming from anywhere else. And that can drive, you know, internal knowledge repositories, or it can help to, again, drive code generation or enterprise systems. And then the other bit for me is Code Whisperer, which we're seeing a lot of our customers starting to leverage. And what that does is it provides AI-powered code suggestions. And it could be just a snippet of code, or it could be a full function where it can help to generate lines of code across 15 different coding languages. It can also be used to identify unfair coding or potential bias in the coding language as well, so that you can make sure that you remediate that through code proposals. And then what is a really cool way to get started, we announced a service called Party Rock not too long ago. It's essentially a playground. So even someone like myself, or Aki yourself, could log in through a web-based UI, and you could create applications with Party Rock. So whether it's a countdown clock, whether you want to generate a podcast, generate haikus, it doesn't matter what it is, but you can log in and you can play with generative AI immediately. And that, for me, is the bit about educating and enabling individuals that I'm really excited about, because that demystifies and makes it quite real.
Sure. I mean, the solutions that are available today are exciting, and also, you know, it makes one feel nervous, right? Because you hear all about this, but I see AI as it augmenting us as human beings, because it assists us to do things a lot better, more accurately and more efficiently. And that's what the world is about today. And when it comes to South Africa, I guess you can see a lot of these AI and generative AI solutions in particular that are going to be valuable here in South Africa. What are you seeing in relation to our South African background?
I actually want to start quickly with the first bit of your sort of statement, which is around it's sort of supplementing what we do as opposed to replacing. It's like any of the sort of revolutions over the last couple of decades, is that it's the ability to adopt the technology and almost embrace the technology that is the critical part here. And organizations that embrace the technology are the ones that will see the biggest benefit. It's never going to replace. It is going to absolutely supplement and essentially allow individuals to focus on the most important tasks off the back of now replacing some of those really rudimentary tasks. In South Africa or on the African continent, I think no different to what we're seeing globally, because it's so new. There's ability for it to make a difference essentially anywhere. And if I think about South Africa, language translation and localization services in apps is probably a big thing for us, because you take our 11 official languages in South Africa, never mind all the different dialects we have, that's one place that I see quite a bit of, you know, immediate benefits. The other bit is through financial inclusion, by supporting underbanked people through a conversational chatbot. It goes back into the language bit and expedite the drafting of legal documents. You know, trust is an important thing with the underbanked population. This can help to bring the service to those individuals in a way that they can trust and they can believe in. And then, as I said, you know, content generation, software developments, basic question answering, and even through education by providing students with flexible, personalized, and interactive ways to learn. I just spoke about PonyRock. So I think there are multiple ways that we will see benefits, and it will drive value in South Africa and on the African continent.
AWS has been invested in South Africa for a long time. I mean, your presence has been here. It's been extensive for many years now. You know, you've got thousands of businesses making use of your services. What makes South Africa such an important market to Amazon?
This is always a fascinating one for me. And I quite often see customers and organizations. I actually had a conversation earlier this week, surprised at the level of history and heritage that we have in South Africa. So we're actually celebrating 20 years of presence in South Africa this year. And wow. I think very few people know that AWS, essentially the genesis for AWS, was born in South Africa through the development of Amazon EC2 and S3, which were some of our first services. So we have deep roots from the fact that a lot of our key services were born here. It was the first services for AWS. It then expanded globally. And off the back of that, you know, we have a very proud heritage of long-term investments in South Africa, a service that has gone global, an organization that has gone global, which from our perspective, you know, helps us to drive and commit to supporting economic growth. And it really is, a lot of the time, it's that heritage that plays out in terms of it being such an important market for us in the one bit. The other bit is our ability to drive impact, meaningful impact across the African continent, with South Africa being sort of the departure point. We work closely with many Pan-African organizations, obviously starting in South Africa, having a strong footprint here, and then working closely with them across the continent is incredibly important to us. And we think we can make a big difference on the continent through skills development, job creation, etc. But I think the roots that we have in South Africa is what really continues to make sure that we get our unfair share of investment and our unfair share of focus and attention from what is a big global organization.
Oh, fantastic. And absolutely, you're so right about that launch pad and that relationship with South Africa being there for a long, long time. Now, you know, we've really touched on so many things in this conversation, Chris, but, you know, AI has been the focus of the conversation. And the reality is, you know, any business that ignores the capabilities of AI today is really truly going to be left behind. And, you know, I do get a sense that, you know, many businesses are looking at it. They umming and eyeing on how to take the approach, but it's not even a debate whether you should be or not be taking the approach of AI. You've got to take that journey because it's going to be part of your business's growth and it's going to be the differentiator. And if you don't do it, there is a competitor that's going to be doing it and you're going to be left behind. Now, anybody watching this conversation and South African businesses watching this who want to take advantage of Amazon's AI technology and solutions, what do you recommend is the way and the journey and how do they go about doing this and really making use and taking advantage of Amazon's AI technologies?
Okay, I'm fortunate enough to speak to individuals from companies of all shapes, sizes, and industries. And I always speak about ensuring you get the basics right. So we speak about generative AI, AI, et cetera. But for me, I want to make sure that our customers first focus on getting essentially their cloud house in order. You know, if you haven't already got robust and mature operational capability in the cloud, you haven't set out your data strategy, and you haven't matured that, it's very difficult for you to absolutely take advantage of this. So while there's a lot of focus on AI, ML, and the value that it can bring, without getting the foundations right, you will struggle to sort of really harness that and to deliver the business value. So that's the first thing I always speak to organizations about. And, you know, when I speak to some of our customer boards and the C-suite, you almost see this light bulb moment where they go, geez, we get that this is important. We need to move quickly or we'll be left behind. But best we light the fire under getting those foundations right so that we can get there as quickly as possible. And it sort of makes them double down on that side. And then the other bit is to give access to your developers to some of the, I guess, the top of stack offerings, which you don't need a lot of skills, and just get playing in a really safe, secure environment. The other thing I'll say is that we provide an array of free and low-cost AI, ML, and cloud skills training and certification. And we actually, at the moment, are aiming to train at least 2 million people by 2025 with our we've made an AI-ready commitment. That's part of a bigger commitment that we made to train 29 million people with cloud skills by the end of 2025. We are very close to achieving that. But again, train your builders, give them access to play, and then work closely with ourselves as AWS who are part of the community so that we can identify the business value and work backwards from there. Because without understanding the business value you're going to deliver, you will struggle to actually turn this into something that is production-wise and delivering. And then don't just do it for the sake of doing it or because the cool kids are doing it. Do it because you know there's an outcome that you can deliver for your customers. And we as AWS are laser focus on helping our customers to think about it that way.
Absolutely fantastic. And some great advice there and unpacking the importance of AI and what AWS is doing. And certainly you've got a rich history of this, understanding what the customers want. And I, for one, just love the support that you have and the fact that you've got all these modules that you can learn a lot about this stuff and it's available at AWS. And it's really quite empowering that you can go and do these online courses and learn about what we're talking about for organizations just to uplift and empower people in the field of AI and, you know, big data analytics, all of these kind of things. They're all available. Those resources are incredibly, incredibly good and very, very useful, I find. Chris Erasmus, who's the country general manager for South Africa at AWS. Chris, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights with us this morning.
Thanks, Aki. Really appreciate your time.